Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Many colleges across the country are facing new financial pressures as student enrollment declines and operating costs increase. And there are some predictions that several hundred small colleges might have to shut their doors around the country unless this trend is reversed in the near future. Well, how is this situation affecting the Vermont State Colleges system, and what strategies are they using to create a more sustainable financial base? With us today to discuss this and other higher education issues is the Chancellor of Vermont State Colleges, Jeb Spaulding. Jeb, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Jeb, just right at the outset, I thought I'd be looking at a few statistics involving the Vermont State Colleges system. 84% of the students are Vermonters. There are about 12,000 students enrolled at your various campuses. That would include Castleton University, the new Northern Vermont University, formerly Johnson State and Linden State, Vermont Technical College in Randolph, and the 12 campuses of the Community College of Vermont that are located all across the state. Interesting to note that in 1980, 49% of the budget for the state colleges came from the state of Vermont, 51% from tuition. Compare that now, 16% comes from the state, 84% from tuition, and it turns out that's the least state support for higher education of any state in the country. Good to know those statistics as we go into that discussion. So you're dealing with a whole lot of things that are happening at once. You've got fewer students. You've got costs that are rising. How are you dealing with this financial stress?
Well, it's a challenge. And before I get into it, I just want to say that I am totally confident that the Vermont State Colleges system, all the institutions you mentioned, will not only survive, but they will thrive. In order to do so, we have got to have some courage and imagination to make sure that we don't just sort of try to wait out the situation and hope the legislature and the governor might get us back to where we were in the 1980s in terms of state support. I think it is very important that the state up its support for public higher education and do so soon. But on the other hand, I can't afford to bet the future of the Vermont State Colleges on intervention by the state. So we're not going to do that. You mentioned that colleges all across this country are struggling, and Moody's Investor Services predicting, hundreds of them are going to close. And we see more of that happening on a regular basis. And, there have been stories in the paper recently about some faculty layoffs at Vermont Law School. Keene State College has had some major employment reductions over the last year to deal with enrollment challenges. The names go on and on, and certainly the Vermont State Colleges are no different than that. Bob, there are, and we often hear the governor and others talking about how many fewer students there are in the K-12 system or the pre-K-12 system. Well, obviously, that means that there are fewer students in 12th grade. There are actually 25% fewer students in 12th grade this year than there were just 10 years ago. So that means that your traditional, and that's no different in New Hampshire or Maine and most rural parts of the country, unless you're in the Southwest or someplace where you have a lot of immigration. So, our traditional customer base is getting smaller. And for those that are out there that feel like, well, we've been here before, we'll wait it out, it'll get better, people have more kids or what have you, the fact of the matter is 2017 was the lowest number of births, the smallest number of births in Vermont since the Civil War. And that's who's going to be going to college 17, 18 years from now. So, in terms of the demographics of the traditional customer base, it's not going to get bigger. It's going to continue to get smaller. In fact, we're on a kind of a little bit of a temporary plateau where it's getting a little bit smaller, but not that much. But the projections are it's going to start to decline again in another few years and go on that way for 15 to 20 years.
I wonder if there's a silver lining here in that Vermont, and correct me if I'm wrong, Vermont has one of the highest graduation rates for high school in the country.
Yes.
We have one of the lowest rates of students who then go on to higher education. So do you have a pool of people there that potentially you could attract to the Vermont State Colleges?
We absolutely do. And actually, at some point, we'll get into our strategies. But one of them is to work with partners to get more Vermonters to go on to some kind of post-secondary education. And as the natural extension of the public school system, the pre-K-12 system, when they do, most of them are going to go to one of the Vermont State Colleges. We actually confer more bachelor's and associate's degrees as a group at the Vermont State Colleges system than all of the other colleges and universities in this state combined. So if you were to add up Champlain, St. Michael's, Middlebury, UVM, Norwich, blah, and the list goes on, more Vermonters get associate's and bachelor's degrees at the Vermont State Colleges system than all the rest of them combined. So we're very proud of that. But even with that, only 60% of students that are graduating from high school are going on to post-secondary education right now. So that means here we are in June. This June, there will be, you know, in the ballpark of 2,500 high school graduates this year that are not going on to any kind of post-secondary education. And do you know that since the Great Recession, you know, 99.9% of the jobs created require some level of post-secondary education. It's actually 70% of the jobs created since the Great Recession, this was in a Georgetown study in 2016, require a bachelor's degree. So, you know, the importance of post-secondary education is really important. 40% of the high school graduates aren't going on. And what makes matters worse from a state policy perspective, and this is why it's important to support the Vermont State Colleges system, the public higher education system, 60% of the lower socioeconomic group are not going on to college or any kind of post-secondary education. So if we want to change the sort of dynamics out there and really provide people upward mobility and, you know, right, bend the curve on our social services and corrections, we need to help people get into post-secondary education. And, you know, that is an opportunity for us. It's not easy to do. And you mentioned low state support. It is the lowest per FTE in the country. And, you know, no matter how you look at it, New Hampshire and Vermont are in a league of our own in the bottom. What that means is we have, you know, the highest public tuitions in the country, too. And affordability is definitely an issue for Vermonters. And there are a whole lot of factors as to why people don't go on to college. But the cost is one of them for sure.
I would have to think the cost for that 40% that don't go on to college, cost is a very big factor. I mean, you look at the debt that the students that do go on to college, and your office has some information on that. You know, it's roughly $25,000 in debt when people graduate from college, and that's an enormous amount of money in addition to paying the highest tuition, and that's going to influence whatever kind of career decisions they're making. So affordability, how do you get your hands around that one?
Well, it's a great question, and it is a big issue. I hope I'm not going to, you know, scare people when I say, look, I mean, if you were to graduate from college with $25,000 in debt, and had a degree in an area where you were likely to land a good-paying job over your lifetime. I mean, your earnings with a college degree are supposed to be like $1 million more than without it. That would be a pretty good return on the investment. You often hear students graduating with $100,000 or more in debt, and that's a big problem. But for the average Vermont students, you know, $25,000, if it's in a field that's going to provide a good pathway for a job and paycheck, is not all that unreasonable. Having said that, Bob, I mean, we need more state support to ameliorate our tuitions. I do want to say to the listeners that might be have children or grandchildren, or maybe they're students that are listening to the radio in the middle of the day and on a sunny day like this, but or on the rebroadcast in the evening. But there are ways to lower your cost of going to college, and one in Vermont that's growing quickly. Is the early college program. And all of our state colleges in the Vermont State Colleges system, Castleton Community College, Northern Vermont, and Vermont Tech, all participate with that. And what that means is that students that are in high school can actually go to Northern Vermont University or Castleton or Community College or Vermont Tech for their senior year of high school and graduate from high school and have finished their freshman year at no tuition cost to them. So, you know, if you were pursuing an associate's degree at Vermont Technical College, and basically virtually everybody that graduates with an associate's degree from Vermont Technical College gets a good job and they pay well, you would have cut your tuition in half, or if it was a four-year degree, in 25%. And all of our colleges are, you know, having a lot of financial aid. So you know, yes, affordability is a major problem. It is a direct result of low state support, the lowest in the country, and we need to move that curve up. But I also really feel like it's important to say to families and students and grandparents, look, you know, I really think you should not rule out some kind of post-secondary education because you're worried about the cost. Look into it, plan ahead, and there are ways that you can actually cut the cost for you or your children or grandchildren.
Let's talk to John, who is calling from Richmond. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Hello. My concern, well, the point I wanted to bring up had to do with, in general, treating education as an expense versus what it should be is an investment. And relating that to, you know, post-secondary, to college level, is the current demand for nursing education at BTC, for example, or even UVM, grossly exceeding the ability for those institutions to provide it. Now, whether that was due to planning on the school's part, in combination with dwindling support from the state and other sources, but we're in a position now where we have the need for the nurses, we have the demand for the nurses, and we don't have the capacity to teach them. And I just wonder what your guests thought would be on solving that particular problem.
I think we need to encourage our traditional colleges to be more open to providing programming that they might not have seen as something that was in their traditional quiver. And that is happening. You mentioned Vermont Tech, and Vermont Tech has a number of different levels of nursing programs and now offers an RN to BSN that's 100% online. Castleton has a bachelor's nursing program and is moving their RN to BSN fully online. A number of allied health programs at Vermont Tech right now that, you know, probably 20 years ago they wouldn't have thought was, you know, they thought they were engineering technology, but they know they have got to keep up with the times. And I think it's part of my responsibility with our college leaders is to have them recognize that, look, you know, we need to continue to provide and will continue to provide the high-quality residential liberal arts college experience that so many students want and need. But that traditional customer base is getting smaller, and we need that our institutions to also look for ways to provide programming that meets the market demands, such as healthcare, and we are doing that.
Let's talk to Beth, who is calling from Rutland. Hi, Beth. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I told the screener I don't want to sound like sour grapes, but and I am going to use Castleton University simply because I live in Rutland and I'm familiar with the college. I feel very sorry for young people who do have a lot of debt when they get out of school, college. But on the other hand, I've noticed probably in the past 10 to 15 years, these teenagers go to college and they have to have their high-definition television sets. They have to have hookups for their various electronic devices. And the list goes on and on. And unless things have changed at Castleton University, they have the most gorgeous workout room. So if you're going to college and you want all of these things, then I think you do have to pay. The other thing I do want to add is I realize health insurance for the personnel of the college, health insurance has gone up. So that's a big issue. But take away that, and you've got all these amenities.
Okay.
So yep. I will hang up and listen.
Okay, Beth, thanks for your phone call.
I think it's a good point. And I first want to say, if there are listeners that haven't actually seen the Castleton campus in the last 10 or 15 years, you ought to make a trip because it is a beautiful campus. And the athletic facilities are good. Not only good, they're excellent. But I also have to say, compared to, you know, what you read about in the paper or see it at other colleges, you know, the more higher end colleges in Vermont, ours are sparse by comparison. And we are, I am amazed at how much we do with so little from the state, with so little state support. When I hear, you know, other states, how much they get, you know, like from the state, they can do things that we can't even imagine. And it's not only facilities, it's support services. More, you know, Bob, we mentioned, I don't want to get off track here, but so Beth, it's a good point. It is beautiful at Castleton, but really, you know, A, by comparison, it's pretty modest. And B, it's what our customers expect these days. You know, I mean, if you can't have high-speed internet access or the ability to stream movies in your room, they're going to go somewhere else. Or if you don't have decent athletic facilities. And, you know, the one thing about colleges is it's the customers have lots of choices, and they don't have to go to any particular one. So I hope we're hitting that balance point.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today, our guest, the Chancellor of the Vermont State Colleges, Jeb Spaulding. We're taking a look at the challenges facing higher education in Vermont. Jeb, we did get this post from Lisa at Facebook saying, instead of focusing on birth rates and 12th graders, why not focus on appealing to older Vermonters who don't have the skills to meet all the great jobs that Vermont has?
It's an excellent point, and we are, and you know, we're really all about that, Lisa. We have six strategic priorities. Number four is serving adult Vermonters better, and you know, coming up with shorter form programs, weekends, online. You know, when you look at the demographic projections, like by age group, it's scary, and I'm part of it. But the number of Vermonters that are, you know, 65 and over is going to just skyrocket in the next 10 to 15 years, and many of them are going to want to go back to work. There are also a lot of adults that are, you know, that just didn't go on to college, and now they're 22, 24 years old, or they come out of the armed services, or, you know, they lose their job in mid-career, and that's a potential, I hate to put it like in a business sense, but that's a potential market for us, and we are doing our best to innovate and provide programs for them. And that's one of the reasons I mentioned, for example, Castleton with their RN to BSN program going online. You know, at Northern Vermont University, they're putting a real emphasis on distance programs. And that's to try to make it easier for adults that really can't go to, you know, it's hard for them to go to your class at 10 o'clock in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you know. But if you can provide flexible formats, that's easier for them. So we see, you know, serving adult Vermonters as an important part of our future. It's an important part of Vermont's future. You know, if you look at the projections in terms of job openings and how many workers we're going to need, there's no way to do that with your traditional college age population. We need that adult population.
Let's turn to Cindy in Brattleboro. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is a great conversation, and sometimes we in Southern Vermont feel we might be forgotten in the mix of economic and workforce development. We're competing heavily down here for young adults to stay in our communities. And while we have an amazing two-year CCV program in Brattleboro and Windham County, we don't have access to a four-year residential state college system that we could desperately need. Residential universities are so important for individuals who have economic disparities that could sometimes be their only place to live or their first jumping point to a better future. So I'm just wondering if there's any conversations about enhancing that program down here in Southern Vermont.
Well, Cindy, it's a good question. I'd like to think that if somebody's looking for the residential experience, that it's not too far to get to a Castleton, you know, up just to the west of Rutland, or, you know, if it's a residential experience somewhere in Vermont should work out. But there are a lot of Vermonters in the southeast corner that, you know, are going to look for a full four-year college experience that they can commute to. And that's going to be tougher. I actually don't see in this current climate any new residential colleges. What I could see is increased partnerships where, And we do that a lot within the system. And more Vermonters are going to 2 years at community college and then going on to a Castleton or a UVM or a Keene State College next to Brattleboro down there, or to a Marlboro. And to the extent we can work together, and I think, you know, given the realities of the economics, you know, the decreasing number of students, the incredible pricing competition, the new players, you know, public-private partnerships is something that we need to work harder on. So as an example, you know, Green Mountain College is 10 minutes from Castleton. Are there ways that they can share some faculty or support services? And looking at ways we can partner with, let's say, the private institutions, whether it is a Marlboro or a School for International Training, Landmark down in Windham County, would be a good idea that we would be open to. But I don't see us opening up any more residential colleges down in the southeastern part of the state.
Let's turn to Tricia in South Burlington. Hi, Tricia. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question is kind of double. I have not heard you mention, well, just barely heard you mention the University of Vermont. I was under the impression that that was a state school as well. I worked for the chancellor's office about 20 years ago, and at that point it was considered part of the state system. Is it no longer considered part?
The University of Vermont has never been part of the Vermont State Colleges system, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. You know, the state college system was created in 1961, and I've read some of the history, and, you know, at that time, a young representative and then Governor Phil Hoff used to complain somewhat about the higher percentage of out-of-state students going to the University of Vermont back then, and that, you know, is it really a public college? Yes, the University of Vermont is a public college. Yes, it's an incredible asset to the state of Vermont. Yes, the student body is probably 70% out-of-staters. Ours is 80% in-staters. We're both valuable. We are different and bring different things to the state. We need them both. We both get very low state support. But to technically answer your question, the university has never been part of the corporate Vermont State Colleges system.
Is this part of the problem in terms of state support? And on one hand, Vermont is trying to support a state college system. It also has the University of Vermont. Do other states do that as well, have two different higher education institutions like that?
Yeah, but, you know, it goes all over the road, Bob. So, for example, in New Hampshire and Maine, the University of New Hampshire system and the UMaine system actually include places like Keene State College and Plymouth State, like our Castletons and Northern Vermont universities, and their flagship university as part of one system. You know, their state support is really, really low too. So I don't know if that links into that or not. But you know, in my own view, I mean, about every 10 years or so, or 15 or 20 years, there's a proposal to merge the Vermont State Colleges system and the University of Vermont. And, you know, like the last time, I think it was 2009, just before Peter Shulman became governor, Governor Douglas suggested that, and they went and studied it for a year and came back and said no. So, frankly, I don't really know whether it's a good idea or not, but I've read the history over the last 50 years, and I've seen that every time it comes up, it gets, you know, dashed. And I think, you know, even in New Hampshire, when I talk to my counterparts there in Maine, you know, the flagships tend to be the 600-pound gorilla in the room and suck up a lot of energy and resources that, you know, is taken away from where most of their residents go, which are not their flagships. They're the other institutions that are in the other public institutions in the state.
Let's talk to Bruce, who's calling from Rutland. Hi, Bruce. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I wanted to speak about the affordability when I heard that, and that is a big problem. I have three daughters that I sent to the University of Vermont, which I realize is not part of the Vermont State College system. But two of them were Vermont scholars, which meant my tuition was free. The third one was not. My eldest daughter could have gone to the University of New Hampshire or to the State University of New York at Binghamton, part of the SUNY network, cheaper than being a Vermont scholar at the University of Vermont, but chose a school that was closer. And that's a pretty sad statement that the state of Vermont does not fund as they should.
Well, Bruce, I agree with you. I can't argue with you at all. And I got to tell you, there's nothing more frustrating than to hear from a parent who says, yeah, my son or daughter, and we get them all the time, that say, you know, wanted to go to Castleton, you know, since you're calling from the Rutland area, but it was cheaper for them to go to some college in Utah, and they end up going, you know, going west, even though they wanted to come to Castleton. So, it's discouraging in some ways, but on the other hand, it's just what we're dealing with, and we're advocating for more state support. You know, last year in the Vermont legislature, we had the first real success in getting additional state funding in many decades. And, you know, we tried to make an argument that we are the extension of the public school system, that, you know, we are pricing students out of going to college. We are encouraging young Vermonters to go out of state to college when we're all about trying to keep our students home. At least other states are, you know, really trying hard to do that. And we should be, too. And we did get some additional state support. I'm sorry to say this year our general fund appropriation was level funded. And, you know, if you think about the fact that your customer base is not expanding, at least on the traditional type of student, and you've got union contracts that are going up north of 3%, which is not atypical, and you've got health care costs and the state support is level, at the same time as, I mean, it is interesting to me, Bob. I know I'm getting a little off track and maybe I'm going somewhere where I shouldn't, but you know, I'm looking at, okay, you mentioned we've spent a lot of money on K-12, and the amount of money going into K-12 goes up every year. The amount of state money, not even property tax money, state money goes up every year. The public higher education system, which is one of the lowest in the country, if not the lowest, depending on what measure we're looking at, on an FTE basis, the lowest, and we are level funded. And, you know, what that does is it puts pressure on personnel. So, you know, there are hundreds fewer people working in the Vermont State College system now than there were a few years ago. Do I like that? No, I don't. But, you know, we don't have a lot of choices, and we also end up having to raise tuition, which has gone up less than 3%, and I'm happy about that. And people need to know that the amount of money that Northern Vermont University or Vermont Tech or Castleton are putting into their financial aid programs has to go up to meet the competition. So I encourage Vermonters not to just look at the sticker price. Now, Bruce, I don't know when it was that your children went to UVM, but to give a little plug for UVM, it's an amazing place. You know, if you're a Vermonter that's at all Pell eligible, even a little bit Pell eligible, you can go to UVM and not pay any tuition or comprehensive fee. So in the last number of years, they've made a real effort to try to be an affordable option. It's just that not that many Vermonters can go to the University of Vermont. And so, you know, we are more like the public schools in that regard, too, the K-12 system that, you know, for the most part, not everybody can come right away to all of our college and universities, but we have a ton of students that, yes, they're very good in school and have a stable home life, but we have a lot of students that come out and they're struggled in school, struggled in life, and they need to go to college. And if it wasn't for one of our state colleges, they wouldn't go. And most of them end up being very productive, valuable members of their community and our economy.
We've gotten a number of emails from faculty members at CCV, the Community College of Vermont, and they are not particularly happy at this point. Let me just read excerpts from a couple of them. I'm writing as a faculty member at CCV. We're currently in contract negotiations, which are not going well. The CCV administration's team, which includes the executive directors of the sites, seems unable to agree to even what I would call basic human rights, like not firing someone without just cause and seeing our work as an actual job. Another person wrote, I'm a member of the faculty union. We're currently bargaining for a fair contract. We're not asking for anything radical or unreasonable, just equal pay with our part-time colleagues across the Vermont State College system and some measure of job security so we can't be replaced without just cause. And finally, one of the arguments that keeps coming up in the bargaining sessions between CCV and the faculty union is that CCV is vastly different from the other schools in the Vermont State College system. Whatever these supposed differences, they're being used to justify a faculty salary gap as much as 43%. How do you respond to those concerns?
Well, I think we're bargaining in very good faith. The part-time faculty in the Community College of Vermont voted last fall, I think it was, to unionize for the first time. I am told by people that are a lot more experienced than I am that the first time you negotiate a contract, it usually takes some time, even if both parties have the best of intentions. And I know that our team does, and we do value our part-time faculty. I run into parents and students that tell me how great an experience they have had at CCV, and the faculty were really important. I run into a lot of people, Bob. As you know, I've lived around here quite a long time, and I know plenty of people that have taught for CCV for a very long time that tell me they really value their relationships with the president and the other folks in the CCV system and are pleased to do it. But since its inception, it's called Community College of Vermont. It was basically community members teaching community members, and it's been a successful model, the most affordable model, and brought so many opportunities to Vermonters. You know, more, I talk about the Vermont State College system. More Vermonters go to the Community College of Vermont than any other college in the state of Vermont or university in the state of Vermont. So it's a great access, but, you know, it is a community college. Our community college faculty members are paid more than in New Hampshire, more than in Maine, more than most New England states, and significantly higher than the national average. So, you know, I mean, do we want to reach a fair contract? We certainly do. I'm not on the negotiating team. I know they're meeting on Monday. I hope that the negotiating team from CCV plans to stay there all day. We finally were able to schedule something where the federal mediator could come for the day. And I know that the CCV team, the management team, is looking forward to spending the whole day and making big progress. I hope both sides really want to do that. We value our faculty, we value our students, but we have to hit that balance point between affordability. We have among the highest tuition levels for a community college in the country right now, you know, and if we don't get more money from the state, you know, you can say, well, we're going to cut down on administration and get rid of people and stuff like that, but that's not a realistic approach, Bob. So, you know, if to the extent the costs go up and state support doesn't go up, it will be on the backs of students. You can say otherwise, but that's just simply not true. So finding the balance point between affordability, quality, and fair compensation is something we need to work very hard on, and we will be doing so.
And they also had concerns here about being let go without just cause.
I mean, you know, the part-time faculty at Castleton and Northern Vermont University or Vermont Tech do have no assurances that they're going to be teaching from semester to semester. So that's no different. I mean, to say that, you know, in a community college system, by the way, you know, community colleges around this country have been seeing their enrollment drop too. And CCV is no exception. In fact, the enrollment's dropped faster at Community College of Vermont than it has at the other colleges. And that's partially because of the demographics, but it's also because it's such a tight labor market. When the economies are good, nationally, community college enrollment goes down. So to sort of say we have to keep everybody on unless there's just cause for firing them, even if enrollment's going down, hello?
We've got about a minute left, and we've got a number of people who have asked this question, including Barbara. And we've been talking a lot during this program about the lack of state support for higher education in Vermont. Now, you're in a unique position. You are former chairman of the Senate Education Committee. You're former chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Now you're chancellor of the state colleges. What is going on? Why is there a lack of support? Why isn't there more support for higher education in Vermont?
Well, number one, keeping property taxes low is like such a powerful incentive for legislators that they can't resist, you know, trying to do something about it. So, you know, back when Jim Douglas first became governor, we raised the sales tax from 5% to 6% and put all that money in to try to keep property taxes down. You know, my argument would be it probably made it easier to spend more money. But, you know, that's a big one. Then legislators tend to focus on crises, whether it's, you know, child support workers or the opiate problem. And then another big one that people don't often realize, Bob, is that for a long time in the 80s and 90s, the number of students going on from high school to college was going up. So as enrollment was going up, state support could be offset with, you know, more volume. But when you level off and you don't have enrollments going up, now that low level of state support really starts to hurt. So, you know, a variety of factors that went into it. We're not going to get out of it overnight, but we really need to all work together to make sure that we look at education from early to career. And I'm totally with the governor on that. You know, how we do it is a little bit more tricky, but I think it's important that we look at the entire spectrum.
We've been looking at some of the major challenges facing higher education in Vermont. Jeb Spaulding is the chancellor of the Vermont State Colleges. Jeb, many thanks for coming by.
It was a real pleasure, Bob.